This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. One night, author Jeff Vandermeer had an eerie dream. He was walking down a tunnel into the earth and saw words appearing on a wall. Before he found out what was going on, he woke up. And when he did, he decided to start writing to explore the mystery. The story eventually turned into a set of three novels called the Southern Reach Trilogy. The series explores a mysterious zone of isolated wilderness called Area X. And Jeff Vandermeer joins me today to talk about the second book in the trilogy called Authority. Just came out in May. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Jeff, tell us more about the inspiration for this trilogy.
Well, it is weird to have a series of books based on a dream. Usually you're taught to be kind of suspicious of dreams when they come to you, because usually the dream logic doesn't apply to the logic you need to tell a story in fiction. But in this particular case, I had this strange dream about the words on the wall, and then wrote down some notes about it, fell back to sleep, and in the morning when I woke up, I actually had this character of this biologist on this 12th expedition going into Area X and trying to figure out what's going on. And so I actually had a story come out of that. It was also wedded to the fact that there's this hiking trail in North Florida that I do quite a bit. So that was like the setting that was already in my head.
Well, it's good
that all helped.
It's good that it started with a dream and didn't all end as a dream, because those stories I don't like, you know.
Right.
And then I woke up.
Yeah, right. And you know, with three books in one year, you know, you get nervous as an author about the reader reaction to the third book, and you make sure that it doesn't end with just it's all a dream or on an island or whatever, right?
So I'm tired of typing. Tell us about this hike or this trail that you're on, too, and how that became an inspiration for Area X.
Yeah, well, I've lived in Tallahassee, Florida for almost 20 years now, and there's this trail out at St. Mark's Wildlife Refuge. And there's a lighthouse out there like there is in the books, and there's this 14-mile trail that goes from, like, pine to blackwater swamp to salt marshes and the beach. And some mighty strange things can occur out there. Like, I've been charged by a wild boar. I've also been charged by an otter, which is really fuel for a comedic novel, so it's not in the book.
you were attacked by an otter? Seriously?
Well, when you get charged by an otter, yeah. You run because you're really kind of afraid that maybe he has a disease or something.
That's true.
And also, they are all muscle, and they're very vicious animals, but it does make for a rather comedic silhouette. but there's that, and then there's also strange things like dolphins come up into the freshwater lakes and canals at high tide, and so you have this cognitive dissonance of seeing something in the water and thinking, that can't possibly be a dolphin. Oh, that's a dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that, you know, that kind of feed into your imagination, kind of then taking you somewhere else.
Well, tell us, this is the second book, Authority, that we're talking about now, but the first book for this series is called Annihilation, right?
Yes. And that's basically... Yeah, sorry.
Well, you can set that up for us. I'd like you to read from it, if you would, and maybe you'd have to set something up for us.
Yeah, sure. Well, basically, for 30 years, the Southern Reach Secret Agency has been sending in these expeditions, and this is the 12th expedition, and it's composed of four women, and the narrator is this biologist. And at a certain point, some things go terribly wrong, and she realizes the information the agency has given them is perhaps incomplete at best. And so this is where she's talking about what she thinks she knows and what she may not know. The map had been the first form of misdirection for what was a map but a way of emphasizing some things and making other things invisible. Always we were directed to the map, to memorize the details on the map. Our instructor, who remained nameless to us, drilled us for 6 long months on the position of the lighthouse relative to the base camp, the number of miles from one ruined patch of houses to another, the number of miles of coastline we would be expected to explore, almost always in the context of the lighthouse, not the base camp. We became so comfortable with that map, with the dimensions of it, and the thought of what it contained, that it stopped us from asking why or even what. Why this stretch of coast? What might lie inside the lighthouse? Why was the camp set back into the forest, far from the lighthouse, but fairly close to the tower, which, of course, did not exist on the map? And had the base camp always been there? What lay beyond the map? If we did not ask questions, it was because we were programmed not to ask questions. By the time we were ready to cross the border, we knew everything and we knew nothing.
Jeff Vandermeer reading from the first book in his trilogy, the Southern Reach Trilogy, that from Annihilation. We're also talking about the second book, Authority, which came out in May. So we should talk a little more about Area X. What is it and who's investigating?
Right. Well, basically, some unexplained event occurred 30 years before the events in these books. And this Area X, or this pristine wilderness, was closed off behind an invisible border. And ever since, the secret agency, the Southern Reach, has been sending expeditions in through an entranceway in the border to try to figure out what's going on. And these expeditions have not gone particularly well. One thing that they discovered really early on was that if the expeditions used any advanced communication technology or even referred to each other by their given names as opposed to their job function, that Area X somehow was able to hack into them a lot easier. And so you have a lot of expeditions that go nuts. You have others that kind of become transformed by the landscape. And so this 12th expedition that's sent in is in part all women because they're changing the metrics all the time. So they have one that's all men, one that's all women. And so they're kind of desperate at this point after 30 years. And so Authority picks up after the events in Annihilation with a new director coming in to the Southern Reach who's trying to pick up the pieces and figure out what's going on. And because he comes from a long line of basically spies and people in the Secret Service, he kind of has this arrogance about him that he thinks he's going to be able to unravel all of these knots. And what he finds in Authority is that when you have an organization like the Southern Reach that's been failing for 30 years and had some of its powers taken away by the military and the government's attention is, you know, kind of a little bit drawn away from this by, you know, terrorism and global warming and all that you have a very dysfunctional organization. And so, like, you know, he comes in and he takes over the former director's desk and he finds a plant growing in one of the desk drawers along with a dead mouse, you know, and it's like, what happened here? And he finds all this antiquated technology, which is actually very accurate as to how government agencies tend to be. There's a lot of advanced stuff, but also a lot of antiquated stuff like you find with the IRS and the VA. And so he goes basically on an expedition into the Southern Reach, and he finds that things are much more fraught and tense and on edge than he could have possibly imagined.
Well, it's one of those edges that you set up is that tension between the natural world and the built environment and our technology. As you say, technology gets used against those Southern Reach explorers because their cell phones and their iPhones are easily hacked. They're great messengers. They tell us everything we need to know about you, and you're trying to be secret, right? And so you set up a nice tension, I think, between the natural world, which tends to be generative in its technologies, and the extractive technology of sort of human imagination.
Yeah, and I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you really think about it, cell phones are fairly primitive tech next to the processes you see in the natural world, even something like photosynthesis, which plays a role in the book. There's a long conversation about whether a plant is actually a plant or not, because they start getting paranoid about even the basic samples they're bringing back from Area X. But, you know, photosynthesis, the fact that plants use quantum mechanics in some of their processes, the fact that you can be walking down the sidewalk and there are all of these communications you can't see going on between insects and whatnot. And so I kind of play around with that. In Authority, there is that tension with the natural world, even though it's set back in our world and not beyond the border in Area X. There's always some little detail of some little bit of nature that's kind of infiltrated whatever building or place they're in.
And sophisticated, I think that's the other thing that you do here, this question of what we don't know about nature. So we consider ourselves a kind of a scientific culture that knows about the way things work, and yet we know very little about the way things work. And we're surprised to see, as you suggested, a dolphin swimming in freshwater because we didn't think about it that way. Or photosynthesis, or the amount of bacteria that, you know, sort of resides on our skin to keep us alive, that kind of thing. I sort of love the way you shine a light on our ignorance about the world that we think we know all about.
Well, it's kind of a wonderful thing in a way that we actually live on kind of an alien planet, that there's all this stuff that we don't see that's going on beneath the surface and things we don't know. We're kind of in the infancy of our knowledge about the place that we live in, as much as we've accumulated in terms of information. And then when you throw in the fact that, you know, your typical layperson in their daily lives is hit with information every day, but also all kinds of propaganda. there becomes this weird melange that I think a lot of scientists despair of where you know, people start believing things out of kind of a faith in pseudoscientific fact because you're just simply bombarded with so much information on the internet and you can't have to sort through to see what's actually true and what's not. And it's kind of what Control, the main character, John Rodriguez, does in Authority is he's sifting through all this information too, trying to figure out what's BS and what's not.
I made the distinction, and I don't know that you do. I feel the distinction, though. It's my those are my terms: generative technology of nature versus the extractive technology that we invent. And I'd compare that to say, you know, iPhone technology, right? A smartphone technology that seems really cool and really sophisticated, but mostly it's designed to figure out ways to get money from us, right? I mean, it really is all about marketing and get us to spend money versus photosynthesis, which is a far more complicated process about which we may not know everything. And it's all designed to make new plants. It's all designed to generate and make more of something rather than, you know, sort of extract something from you. Even though it takes sunlight, it turns it into something bigger. Is that a distinction that, I mean, I made that up. I'm just sitting here making stuff up.
No, I think that's I think that's a great a great way of putting it. And in fact, one thing that the books kind of raise the question of is in terms of our relationship with nature, can we get beyond this either steward or despoiler role that we seem to have? And one way to do it would be to have technology that becomes closer to being generative. And you see that even in some of the planning that architects are doing for the houses of the future that might be, you know, fuel efficient, might not harm the environment as much. They're taking natural forms on because those natural forms are not just decorative. They serve a purpose in terms of insulation or whatever else. And so the more that we can kind of mimic that, instead of creating something that like you said, is there to sell us something or just to entertain us, the better off we'll be, because we really have to negotiate kind of a new relationship with our environment if we're going to continue to live on this planet. And so that's part of it, I think, definitely.
Well, the central figure of authority is a man that's referred to as Control, comes from, as you said, a lineage of spies. Tell us a little bit more about him, and then I'd like you to read, but maybe you need to tell us more about Control.
Right. Well, he's kind of in his mid-30s, and he's had a few jobs before this. So you find out that there's something that happened in his 20s that he's still trying to recover from. But because he's from this kind of royal family of spies, he's been kept on. And his mother has actually gotten him, who's a high-ranking kind of spy in the hierarchy at Central, which is kind of my shorthand, I guess, for the equivalent of the CIA, has gotten him this job. And that's one of the mysteries, too, is he doesn't know why she's gotten him this particular job. He suspects some other motives. So, you know, he comes in having done pretty much every job you can do in a secret agency and feeling, even though he's got this baggage, that he's therefore well suited to stay above whatever it is that's kind of like sucked everybody else in, you know, why they haven't been able to solve this stuff. And so he comes in full of, you know, all of this information. Like there's early scenes where he's asking questions because he already knows the answers, but he wants to see if people will lie to him.
We're talking about Jeff Vandermeer's Southern Reach trilogy today on The State of Things. Book two is Authority. Can I ask you to read for us?
Absolutely. And this is a scene where, you know, early on he's basically being taken around and shown things. And in this particular case, he's in a Jeep talking to a guy named Cheney, who's the head of the science group. And Cheney's a little bit of a nervous guy. And so on the way to the border, Cheney's kind of trying to explain in a way the lack of progress that they've made. If you quacked like a scientist and waddled like a scientist, soon to non-scientists, you became the subject under discussion and not a person at all. Some scientists lived within this role, almost embraced it, transformed into walking theses or textbooks. This couldn't be said about Cheney, though, despite lapses into jargon like quantum entanglements. At a certain point on the way to the border, Control began to collect Cheneyisms. "Yeah," Cheney said, "there's a lot of enabling of each other's nonsense. It's almost all we've got. You know, we don't even understand how every organism on our planet works, haven't even identified them all yet. What if we just don't have the language for it? Are we obsolete? I think not. But don't ask the Army's opinion of that. A circle looks at a square and sees a badly made circle. I guess it's kind of strange to practically live next to this. I guess I could say that, but then you go home and you're home." "How do you feel about all the misinformation given to the expeditions?" Control asked Cheney, if only to push back against the flood of Cheneyisms. He knew Cheney had had some influence in shaping that misinformation. Cheney's frown made it seem as if Control's question were akin to criticizing the paint job on a car that had been involved in a terrible accident. Was Control a killjoy to want to snuff out Cheney's can-do, his can't-help-it brand of the jowly jovial? But jovial grated on Control most of the time. It had always been a pretext from the high school football team's locker room on, the kind of hearty banter that covered up greater and lesser crimes. "Jesus, this is a long drive," Cheney said into the silence.
That's a reading from the book Authority by Jeff Vandermeer, who joins us today to talk about his series of novels, the Southern Reach Trilogy. A third book in the series comes out in September, right?
That is correct.
You're going to publish all these together?
Well, that is FSG's plan. They decided to put them out all in one year, which has been described as binge reading.
Is it binge writing for you? Did you write them in serial in series, or did you kind of have them all banging around your head at once?
I had them all banging around my head at once, but I actually wrote the second and third last year. And so it was a very immersive binge experience for me, too. I actually had more hours than I ever had to work on a novel consecutively, just a more condensed time period for it. So, you basically pick anything out of your environment you can to get perspective on what you're working on.
You might be tempted to call these science fiction. That's a term that I know you're not comfortable with. Tell us about that.
The thing of it is that throughout the series, there's a kind of a supernatural slant to it, because when you're dealing with something inexplicable that doesn't communicate the same way that human beings do, it can take on that texture, you know? So there's a bit of a horror element to the books, too. And the science of it is very strange, although a lot of it is very plausible. And so the reason I'm not necessarily comfortable with science fiction is, you know, really like the first book is an expedition into a strange place. And I think a lot of readers are familiar with those kinds of things, even in the real world, like, you know, trips to Antarctica and whatnot, Shackleton. You know, there's a lot of different ways to experience these books, and it's not that I don't like science fiction as a term. It's just I think that sometimes it limits how you view
how you
a
book. Read it. Yep, it's a big It's a big series, and great stuff, Jeff. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much,
Jeff Vandermeer, author of the Southern Reach trilogy. The latest out is Authority. Jeff's going to be reading from the latest book, Authority, at Quail Ridge Books in Raleigh next Thursday, July 10th. He'll be at Malaprop's Bookstore in Asheville Saturday on the 12th. And if you didn't get that, you can go to our website. We'll have it there, stateofthings.org. The program is produced by Laura Lee, Megan Modafferi, Anita Rao, and Will Michaels. Charlie Shelton is our intern. Robin Copley is the technical director. And Brent Wolf is our news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.